This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 29th of May, 1962. The title of this lecture is Question and Answer Period, Goals Assessment, Havingness. This tape is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. All right. This is what? 29 May 1962, St. Hill Special Briefing Course, Lecture 1. And this is a very good opportunity for you to ask some questions. And a very, very good opportunity for you to ask some questions. Now, every once in a while, I give you an opportunity to wish you hadn't spoken. Okay, what question do you have tonight?
What are the stable datum for doing a goals assessment?
What's the stable datum for doing a goals assessment? Can you keep the rudiments in on the PC? You must be able to keep the rudiments in on the PC before you embark upon a goals assessment. In other words, don't start on a goals assessment and then find out that she should have been prep checking. This is the mark of a knuckle-headed auditor. This raises one to the Royal Order of Coconut. There you are. To catch catfish, to catch cat... Dirty needle. Well, to catch catfish... Dirty, continuing, and repetitive needle. To shoot squirrels, to shoot... Have I missed a withhold on you? Oh, no. No. No, you haven't missed a withhold on me. That is the wrong time. See, that's the wrong time and place. Somebody wrote me the other day, somebody who got a course incomplete here, by the way, and halfway through it, a goals assessment had been able to straighten out the PC by going into 3 or 4 hours of prep checking. What was this auditor doing prep checking when they were supposed to be doing a goals assessment? See? They should have prep checked it, got it all straightened out, got everything all smooth, so that the PC's rudiments would stay in beautifully, and then zoom, 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 you do a fast goals assessment and so forth. Otherwise, you spend 3 times the time it takes to do a goals assessment doing the prep checking that you would have done in 1/3 of the time if you'd only been prep checking. Now, do you get the idea? So the whole criteria of when do you do a goals assessment, what kind of condition the PC's got to be in to do a goals assessment, or any other such question, the whole criteria is totally that one thing. Will the rudiments stay in? And if they stay in, clank, thud, bang, in concrete, by all means, do a goals assessment. Answered?
Right.
All right. Yes, John.
I have a question. You wanted to care to say something about the expectancies of routine 3GA.
Expectancy of?
Routine 3GA.
Routine 3GA. Now, do you mean expectancy in what you...
In terms of clearing.
In terms of clearing, how long it might take to clear somebody with this? Well, you'd have to make an estimate of how long it would take to, how long, what's the expectancy of routine 3GA in terms of clearing somebody and so forth. Well, if you add to it, how long does it take to prep check somebody up to rudiments in, see, rudiments well in, that length of time, you see, that's kind of variable. I don't know what length of time that would be. It's anybody's guess. It depends on the auditor to a very marked degree. Phil is in the next room, so it's all right for me to tell you. But he suggested that I make you good and guilty tonight about this and so forth, because we did 3.5 weeks of student rate prep checking this afternoon. We were at it about 1.5 hours, something more, 1 hour and 45 minutes. I won't shorten it any more than it was. It was actually 1 hour and 52 minutes. And we cleaned up invalidations of goals, listing prior goals lists, any overts against, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. Got it straightened up. And got it straightened up so the middle rudiments would stay in. Pretty good. And we did it all in about an hour and 55 minutes. Now, this just depends. How long is it going to take you to do it? Well, it would vary a great deal. Depend on prior processing the individual had had. Supposing you come into session every day and you say, do you have a present time problem? The PC says, well, yes, I have a present time problem. Mother-in-law's left me and I'm being sued by my wife and by three children who are in college, are all pregnant or something of the sort. He's got present time problems, galore, and so forth. And so you spend three quarters of the session trying to get rid of the present time problem. Well, you're in no condition to get rid of present time problems. This guy's got problems. How are you ever going to get anything done? See? Well, how long does it take to clean that up? So that's an open question. You might elect to run routine 1A or something like that and run it flat. Right away, well, you've shot about 25 hours, maybe. Bang. Get the idea? So that factor, very variable for the auditor, very variable for the PC, but let's say we've got this fella up to a point where it's an oh my God situation. This one that just came out got his toes just on the edge of clear at the moment the auditor went south in a hurry. Got there just ready to walk in through the gate, you know, and looked up and the auditor had blown the area. I don't know why it was, but now that history in prep checking, CCHs, routine 1A, and so forth, is a long and bloody history. His auditor used to spend hour for hour, 1 hour in processing, 1 hour in her bedroom crying quietly to herself over the hopelessness of it all. Actually, that wasn't the action of one auditor, but the action of about three auditors. So all of the tough points of the case had already been straightened out. Case would stay in session beautifully. How long did it take from there on? Well, the first goal, I think, assessment. I have no real figures on this, but I know that it couldn't have taken longer than 12 and a half hours. I know it just couldn't have taken more than that. And the actual listing, down to the first appearance of the free needle with the tone arm down on four lists on that particular goal, couldn't have taken more than about 25 hours. So there you have what? You have 37 and a half hours to the first free needle. Yeah, but there's this horrible variable, you see, up to this point, see? The ground looked like Flanders in 1917, you see. Everything's all smoothed out. And then from then on, see, very rapid. Careful preparation up to that point, and then gruesome as it might have been, then easy going from there on. Now, finding the next goal. This is an indeterminate thing, but actually shouldn't take any longer to find that goal than to find the first one. So let's say another 12 and a half hours, and it certainly wouldn't take any longer than 25 to list that one if it took that long to list the first one. So a very safe margin. You've got about another 37 and a half hours, and let's be dispassionate about it and say that it's probably 75 hours right about this point. And then the next one, you couldn't possibly occupy this much time with it. I mean, you couldn't occupy 37 and a half hours on the third goal if you tried. The auditor knew his business. And let's just throw the third and fourth goal in there listing into the next 25 hours, you'd have about 100. And I imagine that needle would be free just about that time. You'd have a hard time stirring the case up. I'm just looking at one case, you know, just trying to give you some kind of a forecast on it, just a guesstimate. I'd say time to burn madly on decent auditing at 125 hours. I imagine that had just been time to burn. So I'd say perhaps your expectancy on 3GA should range the length of time of prep check and CCHs to make sure that the PC's rudiments would stay in, whatever else you had to do. Take that length of time, which is very variable, and put on top of that maybe 125 to 150 hours or something like that, and you probably got some guesstimate of this situation. You understand this is a guesstimate. This is still an experimental procedure. But at least this procedure does tend to lower the sensitivity knob, although I haven't had as many reports on that as I would like to. In other words, loosen the needle, does tend to, and tends to bring the tone arm down to the clear read of the PC. And all tendencies are that this one is in there. By the way, there's another process that is on the assembly line. There's another process that is waiting in case it's 3G4, as long as we're going into it. 3GA doesn't plow things well, case to case to case. You still got this other one. This other one's all figured out, totally untested, just lying on the shelf, maybe never be used. A very simple process, but you would find it harder to do than 3GA, and that's why it's lying on the shelf. You find a goal, and then you find a goal that would oppose it, and then you find do another assessment, and you assess for goals that would oppose that goal, and then you assess for goals that would not oppose that goal, and then you assess for goals that would not want that goal. And now you've got four goals, and they all tick alike. You've got to get four goals that all tick alike. There can't be a hair's breadth difference in their reaction, and that'll be all the manifestations of the package, and then you list all those four goals, and you theoretically would come out with your same package. At the other end, you'd come out with your four items, which are actually two items. And that's just another approach to the situation, and I've seen absolutely no reason whatsoever to cook that one up yet or do anything about it. I just worked out the possibilities of processes, and that, of course, is sitting there. But expectancy for that one, the only reason I'm bringing that up now, you see, it's taking people normally about 3 weeks, you see, to find a goal. And now you understand you haven't audited that goal. This case is in no better shape now, really. The case just feels a little brighter. And with that case in that same condition, now you're going to find an opposition goal. I don't know how long that's going to take. And then you're going to find a not opposition goal, and we don't know how that long going to take. And we're going to find the goal of something it wouldn't want to, and then we don't know how long it takes to find that goal. But I imagine you're up there to about 12, 25-hour intensives, and you haven't yet listed anything. So I don't look very... I'm hoping you don't find any way to misrun 3GA. That's the main thing. That answer your question?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, Fred?
Since we don't have a modifier now, how do you keep the gold problem mass keyed in if it shouldn't key out and you get a free needle?
Well, all right, that's a good question. Since we don't have a modifier, how do you keep the GPM keyed in while you're listing and that sort of thing? Actually, the modifier is only the label of one of those items which you are listing on that listing. See, you're still finding the same package. You see, if you found an opposition goal and an opposition terminal, your modifier and all the rest of these things, they're still just the same package as you were finding in 3D. And, of course, by listing each one of these lines, you, of course, keep as much of this thing pulled in as you're going to keep pulled in anyway, theoretically. Now, the next thing that you might run into is the second goal. Trying to keep things stirred up for the second goal. But PC will be able to approach the GPM much more closely now because the first package has been whizzed up into space. And I don't foresee any trouble with that at all. Because you are listing a line which keeps it pulled in. Okay? Right. Okay? Yes, Jim?
The stabilizing of the clear room. There's a notice on the board about this is happening. I'm curious to know if C
That would just be going on, and that would be going on, and that would be going on. That is just more goals and more four lists, and more goals and more four lists, more goal and more four lists, until you can't get a meter to read if you hit the guy over the head with a club. Stabilization is just more of it in 3GA. That's just more of it and more of it and more of it, because you're not likely to find this PC flying off into a key out. See, because every time you find a goal, you're going to wrap your paws around every element that was part of the goal's problem mass. And you can probably look for longer listing, more goals to be found than in routine three, you see. Let's see, what was your question again now?
The stabilizing of 3GA clear.
Yeah. Is that answered?
There's another question.
What is it?
That is not actually a stabilization that you've described. Rather, it's a continuation of the 3GA process from the new weekly that you have now. You're simply running 3GA again on it.
Well, stabilization would be the error in the statement, you see, if there is one, comes from the fact that you said clear. The stabilization of a clear. All right, the stabilization of a clear would be able to get rid of the masses that were liable to be keyed in or that are waiting. In other words, you would get out of the road those masses that could scoop up this clear and get him all involved in the bank again. Now, you see, earlier clears, we didn't have that much horizon cleared for the clear. Get the idea? And he could pick these masses up. All right, he could get interpolated, in other words, again. The GPM could come in on him again. But by continuing 3GA, doing 3GA again and again and again, why, you're just shooting holes into the GPM, and you continue on out the other side of it, and you won't find any, theoretically, you won't find any GPM now to key in, see? Because the GPM only stays lined up on the most tenuous impossibility that anybody ever heard of. So the only way that can be here and in present time, it is so fantastically intricate that actually sometimes you'll hit a couple of items on the way through on listing and see them go and wonder, what was that? It's like releasing taking the string off of a balloon neck at a party, you know? Well, they went. Well, they can't any longer keep themselves pumped up. So as you carve into this mass more and more and more and get rid of more and more packages, you are actually stabilizing clear. You're only getting out of the road things. To stabilize a clear, you'd only get out of the road things that could cause the person to go unclear again. You follow that? Yeah, it's like, how do you keep an automobile? This is kind of an answer, see? How do you keep a racing car stably going around the track? Well, you take all the boulders off the track. Now, you've left on automatic the fact that the racing car will keep running. In this case, the case of a racing car, it wouldn't be safe to rely on it. But in this particular case, it is safe to rely on it because you're not handling a machine. You're handling a livingness, a thetan, see? But remember that as long as you're talking about the word clear, just as it implies, you're talking about something which has had the debris pulled off of it. See? You're talking about something which has been unburied. See? And this makes an enormous difference to the individual. He gets very close in the native state and all that sort of thing. See, what's wrong with the question is you're stabilizing a clear. All right, that's fine. Yeah, he's going to stay clear if there is no bank to run into. But you see, there's something else can be done with this person. See, you can put another engine in the racing car or something like that, you see, and you've done a different type of action. In other words, you could drill this individual now into the reacquisition of skills just by the familiarity of things. Now you're doing a different type of operation, and that is not doing anything to a clear. You're going on into OT. See, OT is the recovery of skills. That's overtly the recovery of skills of the thetan. And clearing is just taking what you find and getting the bricks off the tracks. You haven't asked him to recover any skills. He quite incidentally recovered quite a few skills, you see, by unburying the situation. He'll come back to battery to a marked extent. But the state of OT is another action entirely. That is the overt recovery of skills. You got this guy clear, but he can't speak Arabic. Spaceman walks up to him and says, Snav smaz kapop, or whatever. Some space lingo of some sort or another that he used to speak. And he says, sounds familiar, but what is it, you know? And all right, well, how do you recover the fellow's languages for him and all that sort of thing? Those are the questions asked at the level of OT. Right? Just as OT implies, operating theta, you recover his skills of operation. Clear, you just fix him up so he doesn't fall off the cliff every time he turns around. Not to minimize either state, but they'd be accomplished by different actions. You say, all right, get in that rubber tire and go round and round and round and round and round. You getting dizzy? And he says, yeah, I'm getting awful dizzy. You say, that's a hell of a note. Get in the tire again and go round and round and round. You're getting dizzy. And he said, no, I'm not so dizzy now. You say, well, good, we'll practice a little more. Go and roll back and forth across the George Washington Bridge on every truck that comes by here this morning and get so that you can stand the atmosphere of the tires and run round and round and round like that. And he finally makes that, see? And you say, all right, now go out and get yourself run over. You get him run over with the steamrollers. He finally finds out this is pretty good and it's okay. He can be more and more there while being run over by trucks. And then one day he's on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you know, and he's practicing being run over. And a big truck comes along. And at that moment, he was sort of bored lying there, you know. He saw something pretty over at the right side of the road. I think the only pretty things on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, an Esso sign or something like that. He saw this Esso sign, and he thought he'd go over and investigate it. And he stood up at the moment the truck ran over him. Wreck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. You know, something wild. This is a wide field. Actually, we know an awful lot about this field because we used to do this before we found out that the individual could get keyed in. See, it looks to the Thetan that if he does these things, he's going to get his head knocked off. See? Well, actually, what knocks off his head? His aberration, his inability to reach sustainedly, is inherent in his own bank, not inherent in the physical universe. As long as he has a lot of aberration, he'll key himself in by indulging in such exercises. But if there's nothing to key in, he won't. He'll just get more familiar with the exercises. Got it? All right. That answers the question, though.
The question was wrong in the first place.
Oh, I'm not trying to make you guilty.
No, I'm making you guilty.
I didn't notice. All right. Okay, any more questions? Yes?
All things being equal, if an auditor really knows his job, you know, he's really makes no mistakes, what would be the fastest skill, probably for case of encryption?
All right, all things being equal, if an auditor really knows his job, what's the rest of it?
What would be the fastest skill, problems in terms of
encryption? I can't
what
quite... Oh, the fastest skill. You mean what would do
procedure,
it?
Yeah.
What would prepare him the fastest?
Right.
Ah, what would prepare the PC the fastest? Undoubtedly prep checking. Hands down. A problems intensive is sort of a junior grade prep check. If you want to get where the case lives in this lifetime and clean them up and that sort of thing, and if the auditor you're asking to do this is not very skilled, Well, I said if your auditor, this is where this belongs, and your auditor isn't very skilled and you don't want to mess up the PC too much, you hand them a problems intensive. Got it? All right, but a skilled auditor, hands down, prep check CCH. Route. I would know no better route. I know no better route. That's why you're doing it. Actually, I'm going up against the fate of the gods. It's almost impossible to teach an auditor how to prep check intelligently. Gee, it's rough. Well, what do you think I'm climbing that hill for? I'm not climbing it just to get you exercise and me headaches. See, I'm not climbing it because I'm mad at your instructors. I'm climbing it because you're not going to get there any other way. And if I knew a faster route up Mont Blanc, man, you'd be on it. And unfortunately, there isn't one. I have been experimenting for many, many weeks, months now, with repetitive processes for working around with routine one sort of oddities and class one, and trying to get rudiments phrased up into various types of processes and so on, so as to give some lower scale benefit. So that some auditor could simply run these things repetitively, you see, and come out at the other end. There's a lot of value to it. There is no doubt about that. You do a three-way bracket. What didn't you know? What didn't another know? What didn't others know? And you keep that up for a while on the PC. Or what have you suppressed? What has another suppressed? What have others suppressed? Same phrasing, invalidate. Same phrasing, fail to reveal. Same phrasing, been careful of. You've got these various buttons, and you could run them repetitively back and forth and undoubtedly get somewhere. There wouldn't be much doubt about that. And it's all very well and so forth. And I can take an E-meter, and after you've ground one of those out for 37 and a half hours or something like that, well, I could have gotten there the first hour on a prep check. You see, I mean, there's... I have not totally concluded that the repetitive process at class one should be skipped because it has some uses. But I have, to some degree, doing a comparison on the thing, not to some degree, but prep checking infinitely faster, providing you prep check. Yes. That answers your question. Now, let me hear that question again. Now, I answered the first question. Everybody will give me that. Yes. All right. Now we got another question. All right. Almost. You're still talking about a problems intensive.
That's right.
No. Well, there's something wrong with this question because the changes he's had in this lifetime leave you still with the task of a full prep check. But they will get the chronic PTP of the PC, and this is very pleasing to the PC. And this is a very good way of finding out what you ought to prep check. But, of course, it's no substitute for prep checking. You got your processes there, not quite lined up. A problems intensive with the change assessment list that goes with it, you inevitably would do a case assessment on the PC. This would tell you something about the PC somewhere early on, you see. Now, cutting loose into a problems intensive with the change list and finding out what was the biggest change, the biggest self-determined change of the person's lifetime, gives you a very good place from which to jump off to do something for the PC. This is an excellent way to do it, particularly if you're not very skilled at prep checking. you see, because you're going to get this anyhow. If you're a very skilled prep checker, it's almost, it's I wouldn't say it's not worth doing, but it actually is to some slight degree a waste of time. You're going to try to prep check the rudiments in. You're going to try to prep check this PC so the rudiments will stay there and so everything is going to go along fine. All right. If I'm prep checking in the rudiments, I don't try to get the PC lifetime problems handled because I know they're all going to shift anyhow the second I start running a routine 3 process. So I don't pay any attention to the PC. I just satisfy myself I can keep the rudiments in and let it fly. You see the different philosophy here. All right, now if you're going to, if you've got Mrs. Gottlembosis sitting in front of you and she is howling about lumbosis all the time on the subject, and you wanted to find her lumbosis prematurely and that sort of thing, if you wanted to get this chronic present time problem out of the way and handle some little portion of it to make her happy, do changes of her life and an assessment of those changes and get the prior area to that and prep check the living daylights out of that and find the fundamentals on the thing. You can burn yourself up, by the way, 15, 20 hours doing this. And you can drop a lot of worry off of this thing. In other words, you've done something for this person's chronic somatic. But don't make a mistake. You probably have done nothing for yourself or your rudiments. See, but this is a very good thing that an auditor can do that he doesn't handle his prep checking well. He sits there and he says, "Could you be willing to talk to me about your difficulties?" He gets a fall and says, "What's that?" And he says, "Well, I don't know. I have an awful lot of difficulties trying to get enough paper clips." See? And I don't like to talk to people about that because I think unkind thoughts all the time about paper clips. And if this is deep as this auditor is capable of steering a PC, he'd better do a list of changes on the person's life and get the one that assesses the most and go at it that way. Got the idea? And well, now we're going to get someplace. See, we're going to get someplace with this PC because we couldn't enter in. You might have to do it. I'm not trying to run it down, see? I mean, we just can't seem to get any place with this PC. Well, the PC's interest, we know we can always get the PC's interest on one of these change assessments, you know? What is the biggest self-determined change in this PC's lifetime? Well, man, you'll find it there. It registers. You go in just before that and ask them all about the prior confusion. Get a list of the people. Assess that list. And you're going to find out where they hid the body, man. And that's going to be very interesting to the PC. That'll be very interesting to the auditor. And you've got blood. Give the PC a win. All that sort of thing. But actually, it's an excursion. Don't classify it as anything else but an excursion. It's something that you would do either to train somebody to handle things or to handle a PC that just wouldn't confess to anything. It'd be sort of an extremis and isn't a substitute for prep checking because that itself is prep checked. After you found this change, I haven't given any talks about this and so forth because we haven't been doing it much, but you now see it on your class line. Well, that's to give you, in routine 3, a crack at assessment. What is assessment all about? See, well, let's give you something to assess because people made more mistakes on those assessing for the biggest self-determined change of a person's lifetime than any series of mistakes I ever saw in my life. And if a fellow can be taught to assess that list, they can be taught to assess anything, see? So you got this long string of people. Now we want to know everybody they knew before that time, see? We'll make the auditor make the PC list. We want to know everybody they knew. See? We haven't laid the stress down on this yet. I should be getting out something on it. We want everything. We want the milkman. We want everybody. We want everybody they knew prior to this time. We want the cousin of the school teacher who taught the school room next door to the school room that was taught by the teacher who was a sister. You get the idea. We want to know if there are any more people in that area. And that will give the auditor more drill in milking down a list. See, it's just a list milked down. That's all. You're going to bleed this meter for a list. Let's find out if there's any other human being anywhere in the world You see, on that prior confusion. Well, that's marvelous, see? First, you've got a kind of a goals assessment in problems. See, it's kind of a mock-up goals assessment. And if you get it wrong, so what? It isn't going to do the PC any harm. And then we've got this long list of people. We're going to get this list of people, and we want a nice long list of people there. We want 75, 80, 100, 125 people that they knew just prior to January the 3rd, 1938. Man, if you don't think that isn't going to make that PC dig, see? And that'll teach the auditor how to get some more people, you know. Any more items on this list? See, any more people in that? Did you know anybody else prior to that time on January the 3rd in that lifetime, in this lifetime? Did you know anybody else? And by God, you will finally dig up the girl who knew the girl next door. You get the idea? Just teach them to bleed a meter out to nothing and get their middle rudiments in. And every time they get their middle rudiments in, they get the suppressions and things off, well, then they find out the person's memory opens up, and we finally get the age before January of 1938 so exposed that the PC thinks he's living in it. But you see, that's a method of doing a parallel action to a goals assessment and a parallel actions to listing. We can find out at that stage, because you see, we suddenly lost 3D crisscross to train auditors in. 3D crisscross, occasionally somebody did lists, got all stuck up in the lists, too hard to straighten out, that sort of thing, so it had a liability, so I fell back on a problems intensive. Problems intensive has the same two steps. The problem sounds like a goals list and the assessment, so he's already done it, and we can teach him to do these things without fooling around with the PC's goals. Because that is tough. In other words, there is a process that we can teach him to do it before he does it. This is a marvelous thing because we can teach Johnny to swim before we let him go swimming. And that's actually all the problems intensive is there for. Don't get it as a problem intensive, as of comparable magnitude to prep checking, because actually prep checking is how you would do the present time problem when you finished up. You get the earliest incident on the mostest person that was involved with the prior confusion, you'd find out that'd blow the whole thing. You understand? You'd assess these people. You'd find the one that was left in. I don't care what nonsense you engage in here. And you find out that it was Aunt Gertrude. All right, let's get all... What about doing things to Aunt Gertrude? And let's get this thing bled on down to the bottom of the barrel, you see? Let's get the earliest thing off of this thing. This thing will blow up along the line. You'll find out that problem will blow right at that point. But they're not comparable processes, okay? I didn't mean to answer to so long, but there's some data here which I hadn't handed out. I thought I might as well mention, okay? All right, after that exhausting thing, you understand I answered two questions there. All right. Okay, any other questions? Yes?
A rudiment question on end rudiments.
Yes?
The last question on the end of the rudiments is asking about goals and games.
Yeah?
One of the last. Now, if the PC gives you an untruth on that or an impress on that, it throws all the rest of the end rudiments out that you've already gone over.
That's right.
The best way to handle that, just repeat the package after the goals and games.
Forget it.
Forget it.
Forget it. Totally non-significant. The first place is not a meter question. Person isn't on the meter. I sometimes keep a PC on the meter. I did today when I was asking it. I put in first goals on a meter occasionally, particularly if I've got the PC holding the cans and he starts about goals and I ask him, well, are there any more goals you'd like to mention? And I get a dirty needle. Let's not go into the thing with a missed withhold, if you please. So I get the goal I don't know about and get him to tell me that in the session. And the missed withhold reading disappears and the PC goes into session beautifully. But at the end of the session, don't weight those last two questions. Give them no weight at all. It's, have you made any part of your goals, you know, for this session? And the PC says, what are they? And you cheerily, but my God, he's off the meter now. I mean, you're not looking at the meter. You've made the gesture, just sort of brushing the whole session off. See, this is the point where you're slowing down. Nothing you are doing now is of any importance. That is the weight which you give it with your voice and that sort of thing. Oh, well, all right, now we're, you know, end of session, you know. I mean, that's a sort of an atmosphere we have. Well, we can stretch now, you know. Thank God we're over the over the great divide now. All right. Okay, made any part of your goals in this session? PC says, what were they? And you tell them cheerily, wow, it's so-and-so. And did you? Yes. You don't correct it. Put no weight on it at all. And then you say, well, any other gains care to mention? Whatever it is. And PC says, yes, and so forth, and so on. Of course, if you're really smart as an auditor, you know damn well when a PC is propitiating you. And I handle that. I have a special rudiment that I put in at that point. Is I tell the PC, you don't have to tell me that. When I see the PC is propitiating. I wouldn't advise you to use it. It requires a great deal of sensitivity. You see, the PC is looking at you and he's sort of, the eyeball does a small corkscrew. That's the way you can tell. And says, well, I actually feel tremendously better, and I came into the session, you see, with a terrible stomachache, you know, and I feel much better. And you get that kind of response. You don't have to tell me that. How'd you really feel at the beginning of the session? Well, I didn't feel too bad. You say, fine, that's it. And anything you can ask or say before I end this session, you know, that sort of thing. Then I give them in the session, tone 50. Two little kids the other day, 8 and 9, auditing each other. One of them really got the CCHs in. She used tone 50. She was 9 or something. I put it in an information. Wildest tale of a session you ever heard in your life. No, honey, that's a matter of weight. Don't put any weight on that end of the line, and you won't throw anything out. Your session actually ends, to all intents and purposes, as far as your determinism is concerned, you see, just before you introduce the idea of goals and gains. See? It's over. It's all over. It's a wonderful time to slow it all down, put on the brakes, you know. Start picking up your jacket and looking for the pencil you dropped underneath the chair, you know. There's a bit of skill in waiting. And you don't want a session to end this way. You don't want a session to end this way. You don't want a session to end that way anyway. You want a session to end sort of this way. Only I end them this way. Give tremendous weight to that end of session, see. Really make sure they got out of session. You'll have a drill on that pretty soon. But that's all under the heading of waiting. Yes, it is perfectly true that the PC could give you a half-truth and an untruth, but if the answer isn't terribly important, it won't make much difference to the PC either. That is a courtesy rudiment. It has no real value in the session beyond making the PC realize he got someplace and bring him to the end of the session. That's sort of like fishing a cognition, the old TR. You make him realize that something happened in the last couple of hours, only you don't work at it. And in view of the fact that it could be pushed to a point of evaluation, you put it that way, you see. So it's got to be very light. Well, did you make any part of your goals for this session? If you didn't, it's all right with me. If you did, it's fine with me, and so forth. I'm not particularly influenced one way or the other, whether you made your goals, didn't make your goals, and you make any additional gains, all right with me if you made gains. And it isn't if you didn't make gains, well, that's the atmosphere, you see. I'm adding the additional word just for the atmosphere. Well, if you didn't make any more gains, that's all right with me. The world isn't going to perish tomorrow, so what? And then we're sort of all finished up around here, and you already more or less ended your auditor's report, and sort of time we got out the cigars, you know, that kind of thing. Then all of a sudden, why, you bead the PC with a beady look right straight in the eye, and you say, now, you know, is there you care to ask or say before I end this session? See, this is not important. It's not important that he say anything. You don't care what he says, but that's the warning light, see? That's 5, 4, 3, 2, you see. And he says, well, thank you, or something like this. And you say, all right, now, really fix him, you know. Here it is. End of session. Now, has the session ended for you? All right. Good. Good. Now, tell me I'm no longer auditing you. Good. That's fine. We don't care what he said. One auditor upstairs, by the way, got in a hell of a fight with the PC because the PC wouldn't tell. This was months ago. The auditor isn't here anymore. But the PC wouldn't say, is it all right? He wouldn't say, you're not auditing me now, you know. But said, go to hell. And it was a totally conversational thing. And the auditor jumped right in there and tried to 8C and tone 40 this PC into saying that. But of course, the session was over. The auditor has no control value over the PC once the session is over, you see. And the auditor was Q&A-ing with the purpose of that last remark, which destroyed the control value, you see. And the auditor went right there, puffy to the root. I think she even hauled the PC downstairs and pushed him into the training office with all 4 feet, I think, something like that. That was a horrible squabble. Fantastic. Never saw such a ruckus in your life. PC wouldn't say you're no longer... That's the wrong weight, see? No, you see that. Yes, very easy. Very, very easy to miss this, and I will give you a method of getting over it if you want to. Before you say, is there anything you care to ask, say, so on, you can ask again. For in this session, have you done anything I haven't found out about, or something? You can ask for a missed withhold, in other words, again, just before that. If you're queasy, at any time during rudiments, why ask for that? And any time you've got a dirty needle showing up or something like that, you can work that one to death. But if you wanted to be very sure to answer your question very precisely, after you'd asked for goals or gains and you figured out they told you an awful half-truth and an untruth and impressed you, and we're actually trying to damage themselves or something. And you could ask at that time, well, have I missed a withhold? Well, this is get you out of any liability for this. They won't be mad at you then after the session. See, at least get off the missed withhold. And that's right before you ended the session, why ask for missed withhold? But I must tell you that this would be unusual because there's no weight, see, to have you made any part of your goals and any gains, see? There's no weight to it at all. It's just a courtesy to the PC. This is part of our free service. You know? That's all. Does that answer your question, do you?
Yes, it does. Except if the PC is asked by somebody who's checking his rudiments...
Oh, I knew there was probably an ARC break. Why didn't somebody pick up her ARC breaks? Somebody has found your PC's rudiments out... Then you're worried.
Yeah.
Then your PC's rudiments should have been out, and they didn't find them. What? You're right. If I was having my PC's rudiments checked at the end of session, they would never find them out, because I would always, just before I said end of session, or anything you care to ask or say, I would say the middle rudiment from one end to the other, and I would knock it cleaner than a toaster. And I would say, that's it, man, whizzer, whizzer. And the PC would go out of there, and so on. And if that didn't work, I'd just simply ARC break the PC. Now, does that answer your question? All right. Okay. We have time for another question here. Yes?
Well, could you say a few words on the importance of havingness and the use of havingness in routine three?
Yeah. Yeah, I could. It doesn't apply to routine three any more than it applies to anything else. It's just the importance of havingness. A PC is going to start to have odd reactions if the havingness goes down. Let me just fill you in just to this degree. The PC's havingness goes down, and you start to get physiological reactions, eyeball swivel. They notice the carpet and they get a theta bop, you know. And if you'll notice this, you should ask yourself this question. Why does the auditor say, look around here and tell me if you can have anything? See? And watch the meter. Hey, why does he do that? And if the meter reacts, then run havingness. If you don't know this point, you see, that would seem illogical to you. You'd say much better than that. If you had any trouble in this room, are there any objects around here which re-stimulate you? You'd do all kinds of other things, but not just run havingness. See, look around here and tell me if you can have anything. And it goes clank. And then, if you're very observant, you turn this tone arm down here from a 16 where you had it maybe a minute ago, and you turn that down, and you turns down it down to zero, and you say, squeeze the can, see? All right, the PC squeezes the cans, and he gets, ooh. Inevitably, if you say to the PC, look around here and tell me if you can have anything, and he looks around and it causes his eyeballs to move or his neck to go or something like that so as to make that kind of an action, unless he's done something weird with his hands, which you should know better than to accept anyhow. Well, let's just rule that out. The PC just looks around, you know, and you get this thing going tick, particularly if you get a little sharp tick. Well, what do you need? Neon signs to give you the word? How come it gets a sharp tick? Well, it gets a sharp tick because havingness is what draws the noives that they're having in New York right this minute. Noives. Very, very taut. It takes the masses and brings them down physiologically against the body. It packs this PC up like something that's going to be sold at the Safeway, see? And this PC then, physiologically, could actually go like this, and you're going to get some kind of a meter reaction. This is why I laugh like mad when somebody comes around and tells me, look, I can make the meter react by swiveling my ears. Nobody argues with him. What we're trying to tell him is, yes, if your havingness is shot to hell, you can always do this. Now, we could pick any of you up and run you for a half an hour solid, look around here and find something you can go out of ARC with, and then ask you to look around here and tell me if you can have anything, and the motion of the eyeballs will cause the meter to go clank, thud, dirty needle, boom, theta bop, crash. You get the idea? So it wouldn't matter what you did. Some people, they just move their head like this, you see, and you're going to get a meter reaction. But why do they get that kind of a meter reaction? Well, it isn't that is not how the meter is supposed to react, and that the meter doesn't react that way on the bank, except when the person's masses are so borne down on the body, the GPM man is right there, see? Every PTP the person has ever had is sitting on his left eyeball before it'll do anything, see? You've got these solid electronic masses which are invisible, which are sitting right up against the body with no relief or relaxation of the things, and this person is a bundle of piano wire, see? Hey, they got him tuned out to high C, you know? So, you, of course, tell him to look around here and find out if I can have anything. It's pling, pong, ping, you know. Well, you're going to run into infinite numbers of troubles on getting meter reads and so on. There's two ways you can do it. One, miss a withhold. But that's what? Miss a withhold. Withhold, the guy's pulling back against himself, see? So you get a missed withhold, so it registers twice as much as anything else. It gives two ticks where it should give one, see? What's the second tick? You see, that's just hard up against the body, that's all. See, the person's got masses pulled down on him. And the other one is when his havingness goes down. When his havingness goes down, the guy just sort of wiggles one ear, you know? And you get a thud, you know, on the meter. You get this thing going tick, 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 tick. Swoop, surge, swoop, 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 See, along about this time, you say to him, what's your happiness process or something, you know? You say, by the way, you very seldom do this. You should coordinate this. When you get real clever at reading the meter, you will see that something is going wrong here. There's one or two things go wrong. The guy's got a missed whiff hole, or he's got a very dirty needle, and the last 21 auditors in the last 45 intensives have done nothing but miss one whiff hole per minute, see? And he's got nothing but a dirty swinging needle all the time. Well, of course, this runs his havingness down, which is the same phenomenon compounded. Or the person's havingness is down badly, and you'll get these interjected wandering needle actions. And they wander and they tick and they do this and they do that. The person isn't even thinking of anything. The person closes one eye and you're going to get a needle reaction. Okay? It's not a needle reaction, it's just an action. Goes clink, 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 wiggles his big toe. You're going to get some disturbance of the needle. Well, why? It's a very extreme condition of no havingness. It's a very extreme condition. It's nothing funny, man. Well, if you want that kind of a circus going on while you're prep checking or while you're looking for goals, why just skip havingness, eh? But watch it in beginning of routine 3. Now, this is what you want to watch. I'll give you one out of the session today. I was checking a goal, actually prep checking, but it was about goals and things. Now, in this session today, it became apparent that the PC's havingness ran out. PC's havingness ran the TA down. This is not always true. This isn't a reducing TA reduces the havingness. See? But it became apparent to me that when the PC's havingness went down, the TA dropped down toward 2. For I became alert to this. And after the session was all over, after we'd done goals and gains, why, we did havingness and some missed withholds. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But I had noticed that the TA, when the PC's havingness was going down, came down here to 2. And that the PC's havingness process pushed the TA right back up to 3. Neat as you please. So I noticed that in getting goals and gains, the PC lost his havingness. For some reason or other, lost his havingness. Because goals and gains brought the TA down here to 2. It was very peculiar. So I simply told the PC to squeeze the cans again, and we got a good broad can squeeze. See, we got that much, you know. I wasn't going to let a PC leave the session in that condition. So I just uncorked the havingness process and ran the TA back up, and all was happy, and everything was fine. That's all. So there was right in today's session, there was something happening after the end rude, see? And as far as running a routine 3 is concerned, you start watching the PC's behavior pattern, and you will learn what the PC looks like when he's having this goes out. You learn how he looks. And the PC starts going this way, or the PC dopes off, the PC that. All right, so missed withhold or having this, you see? They're both cousins. So if you're just doing, if this PC's havingness, by your experience, you ran 15 commands of havingness and it brought the PC up to a dial drop. And after you'd been auditing this PC for 20 minutes, it came down to that much drop. If that was your experience, testing around on this PC's reaction to havingness, you'd do the middle rudiments and run some havingness. Every time you did middle rules, run some havingness. Bang, bang. Well, there you caught both ways from the middle. You're not going to get this eyeball click. There's no doubt about it whatsoever, you know, that a PC can move and influence the meter by wiggling their big toes, swiveling their eyeballs, clicking their teeth together, or raising their ears higher. There's no doubt about this whatsoever, but only when their havingness is out the bottom. So if you want to avoid vagrant manifestations of a needle, why keep the PC's havingness up? By the way, my record was sustained. There hasn't been anybody around here whose havingness has been found. Before he came to me, his havingness process didn't work. This is getting to be an all-time championship. I found another one today. PC's havingness process didn't work. Everybody apparently been running this havingness process, but it didn't work. Do you realize that to run the havingness process effectively, your first squeeze is tested with this sensitivity knob practically off? Bring it down here to nothing. See? Now tell them to squeeze the cans. Now they quite ordinarily and routinely will get that much of a fall. See? If the havingness is off, they're liable to get this much of a fall, and it's liable to go up here and then fall back, but not all the way, and other goofy things, you understand? But it's just a little bit, maybe it's going to be an inch and a quarter, something like this, at zero sensitivity. Let's say something like that. All right, if that is the case, this is the havingness drop you want. You want more than a third of a dial. You want about a half a dial drop if you can possibly get that. If you've got the PC's right havingness process, you will get your half a dial drop. Your PC's havingness was there, let's say there. Now you ran the PC's havingness for a few commands, and you got the PC's havingness process, and it's a half a dial drop. You watch that. You'll see then, you see, apparently, you aren't giving enough attention to how much increase of fall there should be for the PC's havingness to be up. Now, don't think this will continue. This gain happens almost at once, and then happens very gradual increase from that. So just a few commands, see? And bang, you got the, that's the last command, to hell with it, see? You're off your horse and far away, see? But we got to have a third to a half a dial drop with this sensitivity knob at zero before we can say the PC has any havingness at all. Otherwise, you're going to get the eyeball click phenomenon. Besides, the PC's going to feel bad. The PC will get with holes faster. He will suppress things bad. He'll do think much more quickly. Why? Because the ridges and things are down and the masses are talking. If you want to really get masses talking, run a PC's havingness down, you know. Run around, look around here and find something you couldn't have. Thank you. Look around here and find something you couldn't have. And the next thing you know, these inert masses and spheres around him will even start talking. You all of a sudden hear circuits turn on. Other goofball things start to occur. See, by running his havingness backwards. So just, the answer to your question is, when do you use the havingness process on routine three? Same as any other time, when the PC's physiological condition is liable to influence the E meter by reason of dropped havingness. Okay?
Yes, I think it is.
All right. Okay, that's it. Take a break. Thank you.